All right, everybody doing good? Is it good? All good food? Yeah? All right, some people can't even tell. Answer me. Just get your mouths full. All right, that's great. That's great. Awesome. All right, so as you're eating, feel free. We're gonna keep rolling because we can't be here till like 1 o'clock. So, you know, there's a game to see. So we're gonna keep pushing. But as I was, as we go back to before the break and we're looking at the question, I want to get some, just yell out your answers to me. What favorite teams we got going on here today? Jaguars. Patriots, who else? Cowboys, pound on soccer. Anybody else? Those are good ones. What you got, Ms. Dawn? Roller derby, North Shore roller derby. Yeah, there you go. Support local teams. What you got?
Aces.
All right, dig it. Cal Ripken, that's right, panel. U Sports. Love it.
Diamondbacks.
Arizona. Anybody else? What you got? Oh, yeah, the Bucks. Yeah, Brady and the Bucks, right? All right. What else? What about your, did anybody here play sports as a kid? All right, what'd you play if you play sports?
Basketball,
Marin.
Volleyball
over here, my wife.
Baseball
for Lisa. What'd you play, John?
Baseball,
whatever. Anything with a ball, you had it. All right, Rick, what you got? Baseball for Rick. Anybody else play sports? Over here, we got a whole table of sports people. What are you playing now, Zeke?
Baseball and soccer.
What you got? What next to you? Go ahead.
Soccer.
All right, keep going. Baseball and soccer. All right. Baseball, yeah, you can play with the boys, yes.
Baseball and soccer.
Tons of stuff going on around here. Over here, Jubal.
Baseball and football. Awesome. All right. Good deal. All right.
Any like semi-professional? Nobody went past high school, right? Everybody else just kind of kept on moving. All right. You never know what you have in your midst, right? That's awesome. I did not play, for those who ask, who may be asking me later, I did not play any sports. I played an instrument instead. So although marching band was pretty competitive where I came from, and so I count that almost as a sport. Matter of fact, we had a town that was about 5,000 people, roughly. The high school was roughly 700 people, and the football team was a division, it was like a double A team, so there was probably about 40 to 50 people on the team. In the band, there was 250 people in the band, all right? So our band outnumbered our football team like 4-1, and we would go around the state, and we'd have competitions, and it was awesome. Our drum line alone, which I love, that was what I did the whole time, was all different parts of percussion. In my drum line, there was 4, 6, 8, there were 16 of us in the drum line. It was just phenomenal. It was great. And so I loved every single minute of it. But I did love sports. I do still love sports. My dad lives in Tallahassee, so if you guys saw him a couple of weeks ago when he was here, he was from Florida, moved to Georgia, and then moved back to Tallahassee. And Florida State is all over Tallahassee, Florida. That's the sports team there, the college team. Matter of fact, I was telling John, the town is only about 250 to 300,000 people in Tallahassee. It's not a big capital. It's pretty small in the grand scheme of things. But the stadium seats 76,000. And, you know, so roughly one third of the town comes to watch the football game every single Saturday. The whole place is packed out every single Saturday. It's just crazy how ridiculous passionate sports fans are. And I'm with them. I'm with them. I was thinking about this and saying, why do I love sports so much, right? For those of you who love sports, maybe you're like me. Why do I love it? Why do I spend hours on a Saturday or Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday or a Wednesday, or asking my wife about all the times I'm in front of the TV watching sports? She'll complain to you about how often it is. But any other day of the week, why do I do that? Why do I spend hours watching a bunch of grown men play kids' games, right? And after some research, it turns out I'm not alone in asking that question. There's a whole bunch of reasons, obviously, but there was one that stood out most to me. And what it is that most of us have this innate desire, this thing that drives us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Something bigger than ourselves. So what sports does is allow us for just a few hours each week, right? Just a few hours each week, we connect to the coaches, we connect to the players, to the fans in the stands. We identify with each other to such a degree that we don't only spend our time together, we spend our money together, right? We buy stickers and hats and koozies and umbrellas and shirts and jerseys and all these things to more clearly say that we belong to this group, right? through the ups and the downs, whether they're lovable losers or they're great winners, we identify that is my team, right? That is who I rally around. Now, you can do that in individual sports. I mean, we watch the Olympics, you see runners, you see, you know, the javelin throw, you see all these things. It's like, oh, I really identify with that. But it's something about team sports, isn't it? Team sports is just a little bit different. And I think the reason is because in team sports, we feel like we play a key role, right? Like somehow we're connected to that, that we can actually contribute in some way to make the team win. Matter of fact, some sports teams really lean into this, right? Seattle Seahawks, they have the 12th man, right? The whole stadium is just so loud, it can shake. It's like on Richter scales, you know, they can register it. And so there's so many other instances of that where you feel like when you're in the stands or even at home, like you're just a part of something, right? You're part of the team. I've done so many Saturdays where I've spent the day in front of the TV just giving the best halftime speeches nobody's ever heard. I mean, I'm just rallying the team. The pregame, I'm there with the coach. The postgame, I'm breaking down the interview. I can do it all, right? I've got it all down. Matter of fact, my kids will sit and watch, and I'll tell the stuff the announcers are going to say before the announcers say it. And the kids are like, oh, you just said that. I'm like, I know. I've watched this way too much, right? But I can do that. I do that. And I feel like, and I think we all do, that we're on the team whether the players know it or not, right? When they win, we win. When they lose, we lose. Right, Walt? Yesterday, Tennessee had gone down in flames at Pittsburgh. You would have had a whole different attitude today than you would have if they won. That's right. Sports are powerful connectors. Man, they're so powerful because the team concept is such a powerful connector. Now, let's imagine a scenario, everybody, right, where you can harness that connective team energy day to day, not just being the 12th man in the stands, but actively in the huddle, right? Holding the ball, catching the ball, calling the plays, being on a team, doing a game, a mission together, right? Now, I'm not suggesting you go back in your time machine and play the sport you played as a kid or hop down on a plane and go to Florida and do a fantasy camp, right? Because you can do that. There's hundreds of dollars you can spend to do fantasy camps in Florida. But what I'm talking about is a reality we're called to live out, and that's church. That's church. You see, church isn't a place. Right? It's not about this building. I've said it a billion times over. It's not even an activity, right? It's not an activity we do once a week. It's the very definition of a team. A team definition is this. It's a unit of people with different skills, different tasks, loving, trusting, and believing in one another, right? Supporting one another in pursuit of a common goal. That's what a team is. The Apostle Paul phrased it this way when he's speaking of a church. He said, 1 Corinthians 12:12, he said, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ." Verse 26 follows up and says, "If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." That is a team. That's a team. Here at Faith, we do our best to emphasize that this team mindset, this church, goes beyond Sunday, right? There's 168 hours in your week. You don't spend church on just one of them. If you're doing it right, if we're doing it right as a church, we're spending all 168 together. We are a team, T-E-A-M. We're going to use an acronym because it's Sports Team Sunday, and I'm going to use every sports analogy I can cram in here today, right? And so coaches, pregame, again, I know it, right? They get in there, they got an acronym, they're going to break it down exactly what's going on. They're going to give you an easy-to-follow game plan. So we're going to give you an easy-follow-to-game plan today. We're going to talk about team, T-E-A-M, that we are in the trenches of life together, that we are to encourage each other, that we are to be honest, open, and accountable to one another, and that we should be living on a mission, T-E-A-M, all right? Yeah, I know, right, that's it. Thank you. All right, awesome. So we're going to break it down together real quick, right, because I know I got kids here, and I don't want them start to revolt against us and overthrow everybody and us all have chaos here. So we're going to try to keep it moving this morning. But let's break down team, guys. Team. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 starts with our T. Paul says this. He says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." The phrase "one another" is used 100 times in the New Testament. 100 times. That's no accident. We are called to live our lives following Jesus together. Now, is it messier this way? Yep. Is it harder this way? Absolutely. But it's also more rewarding. is comforting, right? Knowing that when I'm in the fight of my life, I can call somebody up in the church and know they're ready to fight for me, right? Know that the hard times I have are more bearable and the joys that I have are so much higher when I'm committed to doing life together with people who are following Christ together. And by together, I mean everybody is all in, all right? I don't just mean, hey, we hang out for a lot during the week. You can do that with anybody. All right. I don't just mean like, oh yeah, sometimes we go and we do some stuff on you know outside, or maybe we hang out and have some food together every once in a while. I mean all in. Just like the video mentioned earlier, the great teams are the one where everybody is invested completely, right? Completely. Not one foot out the door, not exploring other options in case something better comes along and saying, well, I'll just slip out if I can, but completely invested in each other. There has to be an attachment when you're in a team. There has to be. You'll see this. Man, I watched this just last weekend where there's a guy who was on his team and he didn't believe in his quarterback. I watched it play out on the field in clear sight in front of everybody else. He didn't run as hard. He didn't play as hard. He didn't do his route right. He didn't even make an effort on a catch because he knew that his quarterback wasn't good enough in his mind to do it. And so he gave up on his team. And his team failed. When everybody is not all in, the whole team suffers. The whole team suffers. So to help be able to emphasize this today, I thought we're going to do a little bit different, some things differently today. I got a big long rope over here, and I got some markers on the floor, and there's not a lot of space here. So we're going to try to make this work the best we can, knowing there may be some failure along the way, and that's okay, right? Life's messy, we'll get over it. So we're going to play tug of war, all right? So I only need, we don't have enough space to clear everybody out, but I already have one volunteer. So we got one volunteer. Now, this isn't just for kids. It can be for adults, too. I need four volunteers. You got this in.
I got this in.
Two on this side, two on the other. Jaden, tilt the camera.
David and Goliath.
David and Joey. All right, y'all going to have to pull up the slack because I don't have enough space. So you just kind of work your way back to the middle a little bit.
Come in a little more, Joey.
Yeah, come in a little more, Joey. That way it'll help you get closer. All right, and get you a buddy. You need a teammate. You can't do it by yourself. Who plays tugs of war by themselves? That's not going to work. Here we go. Yeah, just that camera. Let me help you out, Joe and David. There you go. Let's put it in the center. All right, so you're probably going to have to hold it starting light right here. I don't know. Move up here, Joey. Grab this in. And somebody else move up closer behind them. All right, yeah, a little closer. That way you got plenty of room. All right, we can take turns. Somebody might want to get a little closer. I don't know how much room we're going to have to do it. All right, we'll make it work. Somebody put this in a little more tight. How about that? Just so we got a little more slack. All right, hold up. Wait. Hold up. Now, here's the trick. Team's about being all in, right? Let's do it this way. Team on the left, since Dave's over here. Team on the left, you can only use one hand. All right, all of you can only use one hand. You get to use two hands. All you get to use two hands, all right? All right, so let's see if this theory holds out. We're going to move to the center, so let's move it this way a little more. Come this way just a little. All right, we're good. All right, now, first team to get it past either of these lines wins. Go! All right, you can cheer. We can cheer, people. Let's go! Almost! 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 One more, a little more! Cool! I got it! Yay! Let's roll. Anybody else want to take a turn? We can do it one more time. We got enough time to do it one more time. Anyone else want another volunteer to do it? You want to swap sides? How about we do it this way? You guys keep hanging on. You guys keep hanging on. Use both hands. Y'all use one hand. Just one. We got to give them a chance to win, too. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. All right, there we go. They got it. They won. All right. I know. It's going to hurt, right? Thank you, guys. I know it hurt, right? You'll be all right. I got some salve at home if you need some, all right? There we go. All right, Joey. Hey, why don't you take this into the cafe for me, buddy?
I want to do tug of war again.
We'll do it outside later. How about that? I know, not right now. It's sad. I know. I get you. All right. Tug of war. Team, together, you can't do it unless you're all in together, right? You see exactly what happens when you're playing tug of war, that if everybody's not all in, pulling in one direction with the same effort, both hands all in, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. Right? When in Jesus and the New Testament writers call out a people, they're calling out a people who are all in. A people who are invested in their relationship with God and with their local church. And anything less is ineffective and inefficient. I guarantee you, every single time. You want to see a church that doesn't work? See a church that's not all in. that people who are not all in. People say, yeah, I go on a Sunday. It's great. It's fun. I love being here. And I appreciate everybody who's our guests and who does this. We want you to see this. We want you to be a part. But when you get fully invested, life changes. Life changes. A team fully invested in each other together. Second one, encouraging. Moving on to the next one. Jaden's going to do double duty. He's doing camera work and stuff. I got him hopping back there today. All right. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, talking about encouraging. Paul says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We all have months, days, or even years, right? We're just worn down by life. Everybody been there? Anybody been there, right? Being part of a team means you have somebody who's going to pick you up when you're down and vice versa. It's encouraging one another. It also means there's going to be times where we're going to need someone to prod us to do the thing we should be doing instead of the thing we want to be doing, right? That's part of what encouragement looks like. When we say he or she, you know, likes to stir things up. That's what Paul says here. He says, stirring up one another in love, right? It usually means it's a bad thing, but Paul's meaning in a good way, that we're stirring up, got the flames in the church. When done in love, being stirred up is a good thing, right? We all need little pokes every now and again to get us back on the right track, which leads us to A, accountable. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, Paul writes to another church, another group of people, and he says this, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. A church operating with a team mindset is a people committed to the tender love of encouragement and the tough love of confrontation. To give it humbly and to receive accountability without defensiveness. That's the hard part. That's what it requires. It's easy to say, hey, I'm all in. It's a little harder to be able to encourage somebody. It takes a little more effort. But to be accountable to one another is a whole other level. A whole other level. That means we have to be willing to work on developing a relationship of trust and honesty. A relationship that's open enough that we share each other's struggles. And that we're willing to listen to each other when we need correction. A relationship like that requires us to run to each other and lovingly work out those issues instead of running away when things get hard. I appreciate what Paul says here. He says, we urge you, right? He's already operating in this team mindset. He says, man, I've got a group of people here who care for you. We all urge you. There's something important and powerful about plurality, right? About this team mindset. Paul has got this whole group that's encouraging another group. Individual accountability is necessary. It's great. But group accountability is more powerful. Plural accountability is more powerful. You see, it's one thing to tell my wife she needs to cut back on how much she eats, right? That's one thing. Yep, seriously, as she's eating. That's one thing for me to do that. All right? I love you too. That's accountability, right? That's right, as she's eating, right? It's much more powerful, though. I can do that. I can do that to my wife. And guess what? Guess what? Here's the thing. You do that to your spouse. You do that to a loved one. And how often are they going to say, you know, you're right. I do need to cut back. The van's big. I can't sleep. There's plenty of room. I got a blow-up mattress. It'll work out. You can do that. You can tell somebody to come back, even if you love them and know them and you have their best interest at heart. But often, more often than not, that person's going to say, yeah, you're probably right, but yeah, I'm not going to do it because you said so, right? But plural accountability is much more powerful. You get together and she gets together with a group of like-minded people who are concerned about their weight and about each other and they're about their overall health. And that is much more powerful. When you get that group together and they ask each other, are you living the standard? Now, that's a whole other level of accountability, right? Team mindset says it's not just about individuals holding each other accountable. It's about the whole team saying, are you living the standard? Am I living the standard? When you see pastors fail in churches, it's because somebody didn't hold the pastor accountable, right? It's because somebody didn't say, hey, what are you doing over here? And not in a mean way, in a loving way, to say, hey, do you notice something's going off track? You know, what's going on? And that's not just for me. I need this. But we all need it as a team, saying this church thrives when we're accountable to each other. But what I appreciate, it's not just about numbers, right? He says something else. He says, we urge you. That's a plural group of people. He also says, brothers, right? Let me go back up here real quick. He says, we urge you, brothers, that this isn't just slang for somebody he knows pretty well, right? He's not saying, hey, bros, get it together, right? We urge you, right? This is intimacy. This is intimacy. This is connection beyond mere friendship. This is an unbreakable bond. They say you can't choose family, right? The same goes for church. Now, I don't recruit people to church. I invite. I encourage you all to invite each and every week, but God ultimately chooses. He places us all here for reasons we might not even understand at the time. He places us all here in Pownal to love him, to make his name great, to love each other, like maybe even our biological family sometimes doesn't do, and to love this community. You see, church isn't just about an accountability group. It's about brotherhood and sisterhood that loves each other with this radical, self-giving, God-given love. Love that calls out when we're headed the wrong direction or trying to do it all on our own. Love that encourages consistently and patiently, you know, saying, don't quit, don't stop, don't panic, don't run, keep going. We can do this together. And while that's hard, it becomes a little easier when we remember the reason why we're called to do this. And it's that last part of the acronym, together, encouraging accountability on mission together. You see, the most successful in athletes are the ones that realize there's a greater goal in mind than just coming and hanging out, right? Teams don't come together just to practice. They're practicing for a purpose, right? Right. I love going out and watching. We had the Pownal Youth Sports soccer kickoff, right? A lot of these boys and girls were out there yesterday morning, and they came together, and they're out there having a great time, right? But all the time I see it happen with not just my kids, but with every kid, is something different when you're playing for a game. It's one thing to go out there and have fun, but who's winning? Right? Who's going to win this game? There's got to be an outcome where somebody wins and somebody loses. There's a goal in mind that's bigger than just practice. There's an effort. There's a goal to say, man, have we won or have we lost, right? It happens. All my kids do this. Every little thing that shouldn't even be a competition turns into a competition, especially when they're around each other, right? Who's winning? Who's losing? The most successful athletes know there's a greater goal than just practice. They see each day as another day to train for the game, right? All the people who watch the games, if you watch NFL, watch it today for just a few minutes. All those athletes are at their training every hour almost of the week to get ready for this four-hour block of day in their life. Just as four little hours, they are training every single other hour for it today, right? That game is intended not only just to be in and of itself and say, yay, we won today. It's another step to reach playoffs, right? The playoffs are just another step to get to a championship. You get to a championship, that's another hurdle to say, hey, can we do it again? There's always another goal, right? Now, as a church, we're not out for championships, obviously. I don't think they hold championships for churches. If we do, we need to be in that competition right now. But I don't think they do. I'm pretty competitive, I'm sorry. But we're not out for rings, we're not for trophies, but we are on a mission. We are on a mission. And I think sometimes we fail to see that. See, what happens is when churches get divided, when they forget we're together, when they forget we're supposed to be encouraging, we don't hold each other accountable, it's because we forget that we're on a mission. What I get frustrated most as a pastor is whenever my team starts to fight with each other. Right? I could deal with the fact that, you know, maybe we don't reach all the panel this year, right? That's a pretty big goal anyway. But what I can't deal with is when we forget that we have a bigger goal and we settle for fighting each other or arguing with each other, because we're losing sight of that bigger purpose and we're losing the effectiveness. We start fighting with each other means we have one hand here and one hand holding the rope, and we can't complete the mission while holding one hand on the rope. We have a mission in front of us that began in Genesis 3 when God promised to send a son to save humanity, right? We're a part of this great goal and journey in this world that God has set forth. That was carried forward by Jesus when he brought heaven to earth to seek and to save the lost, to give hope to the hopeless, to set the captive free, to give resurrection life to the walking dead. That's the mission that he came on, and that's the mission that he passed on when he took his throne in heaven. When he ascended, before he left, he said, I got something for you to do. Matthew 28:19-20, he told those around him, he said, it's not time to sit and watch. It's not time to settle on theological differences and get fighting about all these different things. Who cares about all that? What you need to settle on is there's a mission to go forward on. And he says this, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. God, Jesus calls his church. He charges us to come together to create a community that's striving to live like heaven on earth. to bring in those who were lost and to give them a new home. To bring in those who were thirsty and place them next to a well of living water. To band together each day to fight for each other so that we can more effectively fight for our friends and our families and our neighbors. To have them know that in Christ and in Christ alone are we transformed to who we are created to be. When we remember our mission, our petty pride and our personal preferences can take a back seat. When I came here to Pownell, Vermont, I had a lot of things I carried with me from the way church was supposed to operate. And I said, that doesn't mean anything. I've got to change what we're doing to be able to reach the people in this community. Because it's not about how you do it. It's about what we're on mission to do. When the mission is first, the team will come together. Team, together, encouraging, accountability, and mission. Now, we all need to be on the same team. Because when you start living with Team Jesus, don't expect winning to come easy. All right, let's clarify this, right? I don't want to give you a false hope or impression that whenever you say, man, I'm going to trust in Jesus, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to be part of this church that's on fire, on mission, reaching people for Jesus, and it's all going to be awesome, it's going to be great, we're all going to always get along. Expect opposition, all right? Expect opposition. Winning doesn't come easily because we're up against two opposing forces. Anytime a team is on a field, they're playing against somebody else. And they're also playing against another opponent. They're playing two actual opponents when they're in that game. They're playing the other team, and they're playing themselves. You see, 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible tells us that we have an opposing team, one the Bible says is the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Paul writes this in Ephesians. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places," right? You see, every time we as a church see people come to Jesus, see baptism, see people walk through those doors or watch online that we never thought would do that, don't be surprised when we get opposition. Don't be surprised. As a matter of fact, here's the thing. Be comforted by it. Be comforted by that fact. Because if you're not in competition with the enemy, you're in cooperation. Resist him, Peter goes on to say. Fight back. Don't buckle under the pressure, right? When pressure comes, fight. Stand firm in the faith. Trust in him, knowing that he will have the victory. You see, Peter was confident of that when he said, stand firm in the faith, because he remembers the words of Isaiah back in 42, verse 13. He says this. He says, "The Lord goes out like a mighty man." Oh, I love this. "The Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up his zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself rather mighty against his foes." You see, zeal, that word right there in the very middle of that section, that means a display of fervent devotion, even jealousy on behalf of a value possession, in this case, a people perceived to be under threat. Zeal. Zeal. You see, when we cry out in the name of Jesus and trust in him alone, we become God's valued possession. He fights for us, and guess what? He doesn't lose. That's just it. He doesn't lose. We're fighting this battle as a team against an enemy that is a losing team, but we still have to fight it, right? You watch teams all the time. I watched a whole slate of teams yesterday. Walt and I were talking about this. Teams that supposedly are really good playing against teams that are not so great. And guess what? Those big teams that thought they were good lost because oftentimes they get overconfident. Right? And they think, oh, we got this. Don't worry about it. Right? Because again, they're not playing just the other team. They're playing themselves. They're playing themselves. And so are we. The second opponent in this team effort that we're playing against is us. You see, after rescuing the Israelites from slavery, God began to just forge these former slaves into this conquering nation. It took a long time to do this. And the leader of that tribe, Moses, described to them the prosperity. He said, man, you got good things coming. There's a promised home. You went from not owning anything, you're going to own a whole land that's overflowing with all these great things, and it's going to come to you. It's going to come to you. He says, watch what happens. He says, when you get that prosperity, there's going to be something that's going to happen. It's Deuteronomy 4, 25 and 26. He says, when you have had children and children's children, generations, and become complacent in the land. If you act corruptly by making the idol in the form of anything, you will soon utterly perish from the land. Now, we could focus on the idol, but that's another thing another day. What he says first, and become complacent in the land. Moses points out that success is likely to breed spiritual complacency, far more dangerous than failure ever thought about being. In the wake of success, people stop fearing God and begin to believe success is just going to come, right? Instead of gratitude, you get entitlement. You see this happening in sports, right? The reason why the Patriots won all those Super Bowls, right, continually had success in the playoffs was because Belichick was not content. He was not complacent. As they said in the video, the line was just another thing to be erased and draw another one to reach in and keep going. They were not interested in falling behind. They were not interested in keeping up with somebody else. They would set the standard, meet it, exceed it, go about it, and set it again. They were not going to be complacent. The programs that consistently win are the ones that aren't satisfied with winning a game, not going undefeated, not just winning a championship. They're the ones that are pushing the limit. Pushing the limit. The ones who fight against complacency every day, who don't just train to win a game, but develop themselves into winners. You see, preacher Alistair Begg once wrote that more spiritual progress will be made through failure, through disappointment, through hard times and tears, then will be discovered as a result of success, laughter, easy times, and trivialities. Success breeds complacency. We're not fighting just the enemy, we're fighting ourselves. You see, our church has had some success. Some. It's grown deeper and has grown closer to God, has made an impact for him in this community. And this year alone, we have reached hundreds and touched hundreds of lives in this community. It's something I'm remarkably proud of. Honor to be a part of, but not settling in. That is not the end goal, because God is not done. He is not done, church. I want you to get this in your mind before you leave here today. If you're thinking, oh man, this is such a great Sunday, right? It's awesome. We get to eat. Look at all these people. And you think, man, all the impact we've made this year has been great. And yes, it has, but God is not finished yet. He is not done. Now isn't the time to rest and get content. There is no off season. Paul wrote this in Romans 12:11, and it's going to sound familiar to Isaiah. He said, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. There's that word again, zeal. A fervent devotion or jealousy on behalf of those under threat. You see, God is not done in you. God is not done in your family, your children, your children's children. He's not done in this community. His zeal is consuming and should be so in us. Pushing us past the limit to see those threatened by the enemy set free, to see those mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually in bondage broken free by the zealous conquering King and by those who are on his team doing as he's called us to do. Loving him and loving others with an unbridled passion that can't be quenched by success. Winning in him. Now, each and every Sunday, we always want to extend that offer, what Jesus offers us. He says that I've come to see the captives set free. I've come to give life to those who are perishing. I've come to give peace, not as the world gives, he says, but peace, real peace. All those things are found in Christ and in Christ alone. You don't have to add anything to it. Don't add him to whatever you got going on, and don't think you had to add to him. He alone is sufficient. And he alone offers freedom, real freedom. And so if you're here today and you're a seeker and you're like, man, I've been on the outside of Team Jesus and I kind of like Team, I root for Team Jesus, right? I'm in the stands for Team Jesus. You know, I'm kind of out there cheering for him. I'm glad when things go great. But I'm not on the team yet, but I want to be. I want people who are going to fight with me and for me, who say, man, I'm not going to let you sit still. We're going to push forward together. We're going to encourage each other, hold accountable to each other. We're going to invest all in together, not seeing us fall down or not having someone to pick us back up. And it goes beyond biological family. It's brothers and sisters. It goes all over the world, but even here in Pownell especially, to say we are not losing today. If you want to be a part of that team, and trusting in Jesus and Christ alone, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. For believers, though, I want us to wrap up with this. It's cliche. It is so cliche to say there is no I in team, right? That's so cliche. The church team, though, suffers. I will say this. Even though there's no I in team, church suffers when you're not here. And I don't just mean on a Sunday morning. I mean during the week. I mean in the midnight hour when someone needs prayer, where are you, right? That type of mentality. I mean, you know, Friday nights by a fire, serving out in the community. God calls us to be part of a team, all in together. All in. Don't ever think, well, it looks like they got everything covered, right? They don't need my help. I mean, look how good they got a lot of folks there. I mean, surely this everything's good, right? They don't need me. You see, God has made a spot on this team for you. The team isn't limited by number. This isn't baseball. This isn't football. It's not a matter of we're capping this sucker off and you can't come, right? You didn't make the cut. It's everybody all in, having a role together, pulling, pushing, going forward together in Him. There's a role, there's a skill that you alone are qualified. And I always find it so amazing when you step into what God has for you. It just inspires me like nothing else does to watch God work in you and you be willing to let Him work through you. So all I want us to take this morning is a jumping off point to be committed, or maybe to recommit to being the team, to being in the trenches of life together, to taking time to encourage each other, to be open, honest, and accountable to one another, and living on mission, zealously fighting for heaven on earth. Let's pray this morning. So all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. We get ready to pray. First, if you are here and you're not quite on Team Jesus, you're like, well, I know Jesus. I even like Jesus a lot, but you're really just trusting Him with everything in your life. Everything else is laid down and you are trusting in Him alone. Here's your opportunity to do that. You don't have to do anything super special other than cry out to Him. Use your heart's cry to say words like these. You can just say it in your head. It had to be these exact words, just something like this. It goes something like this. It's, dear Jesus, one, forgive me. And forgive me for all the things, God, that I've been doing on my own. I've been operating as an individual outside of You, trying to accomplish and achieve and do all these things. And every day is a struggle. And every day is a battle. And most days I feel like I'm losing. And today You offer me freedom. You offer me life. You offer me victory. Not just for right now, but for eternity. An eternal life in You. Promised, guaranteed, no questions asked, nothing to give other than my trust in You. And so today I give it. Today I lay it all down and I pick You up instead. And I say, I want You above all things. Now, if that's you this morning and you said that prayer, one like it, then we just encourage you, as all heads are still bowed, all eyes shut, online as well, reach out to us. You can come and see me. There's Leo up front. He's going to help you out too. He's been more than willing to. Walt in the back. You can find someone here who wants to wrap their arms around you and love you and say, man, that's step one to being part of this awesome team and this mission that you're called towards, and let us walk it with you. It's a great privilege to do that. And so online, like or leave a comment. We're going to post in person. Find somebody before you leave. Don't miss out on that chance. Don't miss it. You never know, I'm not to threaten you, but I just know many people who are near the end of life, and so it always presses on to me. The length of days is not guaranteed. God knows, but you don't. How do you respond in the moment? For believers and everyone else as we close, though, let's focus on this. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You that You've called each and every person, God, in this community, God, to serve You, to love each other, to encourage one another, to be accountable to each other, to live on that mission that Jesus, You gave us. That God is not something we conjured up, that we think, man, there's people who just need to be, who are messed up and needs help. But God, You say there are lost that need to be found. They are people that You are seeking. And God, You've called us to seek them out as You do. God, as a church, to reach out and to love them with radical, self-giving, God-given love. That God, we are doing it together. God, I pray that as a church, Lord, that as we fight this mission, as we continue day by day to battle, and each day, Lord, see victory and some days see failure, but keep pressing. But God, that we are all in together in it. The God, that if any of us are sitting here like, man, I don't know, I'm kind of half in, half out, that today is a day to say, God has put me here for a purpose. God, it has a plan for me. God, that You are working out in this church the means of victory to see people in this community that have never, ever thought about being as part of a team, being part of a church team. God, You are making it happen even now before we can see it happen. That God, You call us to step out in faith and trust You to invite them, to bless them, to encourage them, to see this community transformed by the power of the gospel, one person at a time, through us, by Your power. God, let us commit to that. Let us commit to that today. as we see teams playing today on TV, God, remind us of this big goal we have in you, and that you are going before us and behind us, that your hand is on us, driving us forward zealously to fight the fight that you have called us to do, knowing that you will give us the victory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, church, thank you so much for being part of Sports Team Sunday. In person, we're going to sing a song in just 1 second. Online, that's all I got for you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you have a great time. Enjoy whatever team you're going to watch today or this week or next weekend. As we get into fall, I'm so looking forward to so many Saturdays with fall leaves and sports on TV. So I hope you enjoy yourself today. And make sure you tell somebody you love them before you get out of here online. And we'll see you guys next time.